Welcome to those who are joining us online as well today as we celebrate this second Sunday in the season of Easter. Last week we celebrated Jesus' resurrection to new life, and this week we see how that good news transforms the lives of people all around Jesus, bringing new life and hope to them and to us. But I'd like to start today by sharing another true story, one from the life of someone that I have known. It seemed like Katie was in a good place in life. She had a wonderful husband. She was planning on starting a family. They had a nice house. Her job was fulfilling. And yet recently, she had started to feel this unsettling feeling that something was missing in her life. She tried hobbies, but nothing seemed to help. She felt an emptiness, and she started to wonder, was there something wrong with her? What was her problem? After months of wrestling with this feeling, one night, Katie had a dream. When she woke up, it was clear to her that there was something missing in her life, and what was missing was God. She honestly couldn't have been more surprised. Katie had gone to church a couple of times with her grandma when she was very young, and she remembered the music and the feeling of being held by her grandma. It was a nice memory, but church had never been a place her parents had wanted to go, so she learned in a gut sort of way that whatever happened there must not be for her. But now it seemed like she was almost being called by someone. She told this to her husband and wondered if maybe they should try a church, but he didn't want to go with her and she didn't want to go alone, so she just tried to put it out of her mind. She thought, that's crazy, listening to a dream? What's wrong with me? But the feeling didn't go away. And one day when driving by a small church, she had a strong feeling this was the one to try. The next Sunday morning, she drove up to the church, trying to remember the last time she had ever gone to any event alone. It had been a long, long time. It felt foreign, scary. But she parked the car, and she got out, and she started walking. But then halfway to the door, she lost her nerve and just panicked. What was she thinking? She ran back to the car and drove home, feeling stupid. And the whole next week, she thought, if I don't try, I'll always wonder. I've got to do it. I've just got to do it. So the next Sunday, she summoned up her courage, and she managed to actually make it into the building this time, walking in behind an older couple. And just inside the door, a woman greeting people stopped the couple in front of her. Well, hello, Johnsons. How's your summer been going? And then to Katie's horror, she turned to Katie and cheerfully asked the Johnsons, and is this your granddaughter? Everyone turned and looked at her. Heart pounding, she stammered out, no, I'm just visiting. Horrible, awkward pause. And then Mrs. Johnson grabbed her arm and said, well then, you're our granddaughter today. Laughing, they introduced themselves. The Johnsons asked Katie, since they were related and all, if she'd like to sit with them. And she said, sure, why not? And followed them in. And through worship, she sang songs and she heard about the God who loved her, once again sitting next to a loving grandma. And at the end of the service, the Johnsons invited her to join them for lunch, and she said, no, but thanks, and left feeling lighter than she had in a long time. The next Sunday, she decided to try again, and who should end at the front door at the same time as her again but the Johnsons? Look, dear, it's our granddaughter, Mrs. Johnson joked. Then she reached out and linked arms with Katie again as they walked in and asked her all about her week. Suddenly, Katie felt like she had a place. She wasn't a stranger. She was the Johnsons' adopted granddaughter. And in the weeks that followed, Katie began to grow in knowing the God who had literally called her out of sleep into a new life. Now, although the names have been changed, this is a true story. I met Katie 3 months after this happened when I started my pastoral internship at her church in Wisconsin. Her story really moved me. I loved that the Lord loved her too much to let her be content without him. I loved that he drew alongside her in a dream. And I loved that this one that he first drew to himself through the love of her grandma, he now drew back to himself through the love of new spiritual grandparents. I was bowled over, not because Jesus loved her so personally and so persistently. I knew he did that. What amazed me was that after Jesus worked so hard to patiently whisper his love to Katie over and over again, that he would trust her to a church full of fallible, broken people. I mean, what would have happened if that greeter hadn't made the mistake of thinking she was the Johnson's granddaughter? Would they all have just politely left each other alone, respecting the distance we Midwesterners so often choose? What would have happened to Katie? Spiritually on her own for so many years, Katie hadn't recognized the God who loved her. But now, when he was calling her to know him, the Lord had called her to people who would walk with her and help her to know him, to embody his love for her. And as Katie got involved with the congregation, she began to know the love of Jesus that fulfilled her life in a way that she had never known. And when she joined the church, the Johnsons were her sponsors. And by the end of my internship year, I stood next to her and her husband as their beautiful baby daughter was baptized. Now she was promising to walk alongside this little one to help her grow to know this God who loved her, and the church cheered. I tell that story today because the more I come to know of Jesus and the people who follow him, the more clearly I see that the ministry Jesus calls us to is simply the art of walking alongside. The Holy Spirit does the stirring, we walk alongside. We look for what Jesus is doing, and we do the best we can to walk with him. Because whenever people are called into faith, like the Apostle Paul or Cornelius in the book of Acts or my friend Katie, we are called into community, because that's how God chooses to grow us, together, drawing us to humbly walk with our God alongside our neighbor. And no passage shows that better than our gospel for today, Jesus on the Emmaus Road. And Jesus' ministry had always been one of walking alongside, and before the crucifixion, that was easy to see, because Jesus was a carpenter. He learned his earthly trade through apprenticeship. He worked alongside the master carpenter, learning by imitation. And when Jesus began to preach and teach, he taught his disciples the same way. He took a small group of 12, and he walked alongside them. He taught them by example, by word and deed, and they learned by imitation. Jesus was leading them to know the heart of God by teaching them to know himself. But then he was crucified. Pretty abrupt end to an apprenticeship. And his disciples must have wondered if they'd been wrong to follow him at all. But on the third day, when the stone of the tomb was rolled away, Jesus had not conquered a human nation, but the enemy of all human beings, death. Showing us there is no end to this apprenticeship. There's only greater life. And after a victory like that, after his resurrection, we might expect Jesus would show up to visit Pontius Pilate just to say, big mistake, buddy, huge. Or to make a glorious public appearance at the temple in Jerusalem in front of the whole Sanhedrin to prove to them they had been wrong about what the God they claimed to serve had asked of them. But shame and blame, that's not Jesus' style. Instead, in Luke, the first time we see Jesus after his resurrection is here, walking up quietly alongside some troubled people. Isn't that just like our God? This isn't the first time he's done something like that. Do you remember the story of Jacob from the Old Testament? Jacob wronged his brother pretty seriously, his brother Esau, and then he fled the country to get away from him. But the day came when Jacob had to face his brother. And before meeting Esau, Jacob was afraid and restless. And in the dead of the night before this meeting, the Lord came and met Jacob and wrestled with him. The Lord matched his strength blow by blow until Jacob was spent. And then he gave him the new name, Israel, which means one who struggles with God. And in the morning, when Jacob finally met his brother, to his amazement, things resolved so much better than he could have imagined. And those two things are not unrelated. I'll bet the night with God left Jacob pretty humble. And all of the pride and anger that he might have thrown at his brother because of his fear had been wrestled out of him. And now, instead, when he met with Esau, he had a very different and a very humble mind and heart. wrestling with God helped him find a way of peace through his earthly struggle. Isn't it amazing that this is where we find God in Jacob's life, throwing down in a wrestling match? Doesn't sound very churchy, does it? But that's God for you. He shows up in the strangest of places, like where you are. So after Jesus' resurrection victory, that's also where we find him. Jesus walks up alongside these sad, confused, discouraged disciples, and he simply asks them, "What are you talking about?" He invites them to spill it, to lay it all out, and they do. They talk about their hopes and about death and the rumors of resurrection, wondering, with all that we've seen, how do we even dare hope anymore? And then he wrestles with them. He matches their doubt and their fear with his hope and joy. Don't you see the Messiah had to suffer? As they walk together, he shows them through the scriptures that what looked like the greatest defeat in human history was actually God's greatest triumph. And their hearts burn with hope. Maybe God actually is at work in all of this. And when they invite him to stay with them and he breaks the bread, they're finally able to see the truth that the resurrected Savior is right there with them. They finally see him and what's true, and then he sends them right back to people, to the other disciples, to encourage them with what he had given them. You see, Jesus doesn't give them this gift for them to keep to themselves, but to share with everyone. And as Katie's life story shows, Jesus is still doing this. Our God is still drawing alongside us. He still calls us together to seek him, to wrestle with our faith, to discuss together what we've learned. So as we spend time with him in our worship and our fellowship and our questions in the breaking of the bread together, our eyes may be open to understand the meaning of all of this, that what's at the center of all of this is that he is with us. That we might know what Jesus' resurrection presence means in our lives. And we have the greatest kind of hope because he's given us a place in the greatest community of all. Because Jesus, who chose to walk into death for you and me, will walk with us even through the valley of the shadow of death. That having a Savior means not only is he with us now, but that there is no place in life or in death where we will ever walk alone. But how did you come to see this one who walks with you? How did you learn to trust in him or to hear him? Chances are it was through someone who, in their apprenticeship to the Master and loving like Christ, chose to walk alongside you until you could recognize the presence of Christ for you. Jesus calls us as his disciples to walk alongside other people in his love. Because he knows that it's only in walking together that our eyes are opened to see his presence among us. So what Jesus does for us, he calls us to do also for others. In the book Blue Like Jazz, Donald Miller tells a story about a man who was a Navy SEAL. He was on a covert operation, freeing hostages in some dark part of the world. And they flew in by helicopter, stormed the compound, broke into the room where the hostages had been held for months, and the hostages were curled up terrified. And the SEALs came in, and they stood at the door, and they called to the prisoners, "We're Americans! We're here to rescue you! Follow us!" But traumatized, they just cowered on the floor, covered their eyes. The SEALs stood there for a few awkward beats, not quite sure what to do, until one of them had an idea. He took off his helmet, and he curled up next to the prisoners on the floor. Slowly, he put his arm around one of them until the hostage turned to look at him. And then he whispered, "We're Americans. We came here to rescue you. Will you come with us?" One by one, they stood up, and they stumbled out after the SEALs until they were all to safety. This is how Jesus came for us. He humbled himself to curl up beside us. He became a man of suffering for the sake of the suffering, even to the point of death on a cross for us. He took on human brokenness for the broken so that he could lead us into life, a resurrection life that nothing can ever take away from us. Because Christ-like love is a love that draws alongside. You who are here today, you're here because someone chose to pour time or love or life into you. Someone named the gift they saw in you and encouraged you to see it in yourself. Someone saw Christ's love that has seen you and has helped you to know it for yourself. Someone listened. Someone cared. And your eyes were open to the fact that this love has something to do with God's love for you. Think about who was there for you in that, who built you up. And ask yourself then, who are you doing that for today? Who are you pouring into? Who are you choosing to walk alongside? Now you might think, well, I can't do that. I don't know enough to mentor anyone else. Or I'm just a kid. Or I'm not a theologian. I'm not even sure what I'm doing here. But the funny thing about life is, no matter what stage of life you are in today, there is always someone just one step behind you that you can pour into from what God has given you. Because what he's given you, he gives you to share, to encourage someone else. And there is always someone at least one step ahead of you who can bless your growing from what the Lord has shown them. That's the gift of community. And there's a lot of ways to grow in doing that. But if you'd like to start in this community, here's a couple that are coming up very soon. This Saturday, May 3rd, there's a faith mentoring workshop and lunch. Come and learn more. The prayer and praise night that's coming up this Tuesday, May 6th, is a chance for each person to bring a song or a scripture or a hymn that has blessed your life and share it with us together so we can encourage each other in faith. Or the spiritual retreat morning, Saturday, May 10th. It's an intentional time set aside to be alone with God as well as together in the group to encourage each other's growing. And there's many other opportunities to jump into groups that are just forming or to serve with others together as you walk alongside others in faith. Check out those opportunities, because whenever Jesus' people get together, he is there among us and we see more of who he is in what he's doing in each other. The truth is, there's no graduation from being a disciple of Jesus. As long as we live, we're called to grow in community, a community of grace that walking together grows and seeing Jesus among us. And one thing I do know, our God is powerfully in love with people. He is always seeking, always calling people like Katie, like you, and like me, and he's looking for hearts open to hear him. So now, the Holy Spirit is looking for a few good grandmothers and fathers and sisters and friends and coworkers and classmates to draw alongside those wrestling hearts and just ask, what are you discussing as you walk along? We are called to join in the conversation of the hurting world so that in walking together in love, in carrying each other's burdens, eyes may be open to see that Jesus is present with us. Jesus, the true burden bearer for us all. So, followers of the Master, apprentices of Jesus, I challenge you today, this week, to intentionally choose to walk alongside someone in love. Notice somebody's need and decide to lift them up in prayer. You don't even have to talk to them if that's too big a step for you. Just pray for them. Ask God to help you see Jesus' love for them and then quietly live that love alongside them. Just one person at your work, your school, your community that you intentionally choose to walk alongside, pray for, encourage, or support this week as an apprentice to your master. And then see what you see Jesus do and see what you see of Jesus. The Holy Spirit does the stirring. We watch for what he's doing and we walk alongside. Because in walking together and discussing these things with each other, we do find that Jesus himself draws near. For as Jesus says in Matthew 18, where two or three come together in my name, there am I among them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the love that you have, that you would come and meet us right here where we are, that you choose to give yourself to us over and over again, time and time and time again, so that we may know more and more of you, So Lord, we pray that as you call us, as your Holy Spirit nudges our hearts, give us the courage, Lord, to take a step of faith, to trust our lives to you, to walk with you, to see what it is you want to do in us and through us. Lord, you are so gracious. You are so wonderful to come and to lay down your life for each and every one of us. And you call us, Lord, to dare to share with you those things that are on our hearts, to discuss them together, to discuss them with you, that in the midst of our wrestling, that we might see your love, your faithfulness, and your face. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.